Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. This morning, environmental activists are filing a petition to list a Great Salt Lake shorebird under the Endangered Species Act. These little guys are the Wilson's phalarope. And while birds are cool, is this a sneaky tactic to save the Great Salt Lake? It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Dita Seed, you are a senior campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity, and you are officially petitioning the federal government to list the Wilson's phalarope, a Great Salt Lake shorebird, as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Why?
Well, these little birds are very threatened by the demise of our Great Salt Lake. Actually, they're very sensitive to what's happening with all the saline lakes in the western United States. They evolved particularly to feed off of invertebrates that are specific to saline lakes.
Okay.
And so there are over a million Wilson's phalarope in the world, and 60% of them rely on our very own very endangered Great Salt Lake.
And should I assume they're eating brine flies like other birds?
Yes. So they eat brine flies and brine shrimp. That both of those make up a really significant portion of their diet. And then also some other invertebrates. But, you know, they come to the lake on their way flying north and then coming back when they're making their winter migration to South America. They stop at Great Salt Lake and they fully molt, which means they lose all of their feathers and have to rebuild, basically. And it's during that period that they feed intensively on brine flies and brine shrimp at Great Salt Lake. And if they weren't able to stop at Great Salt Lake, we could lose a huge number of birds. And this is what is so threatening to them right now.
Okay, yeah. So they're like this is where they gas up, right?
Exactly. Yes. They refuel for their journey. And their journey is a nonstop flight from Great Salt Lake to Argentina, if you can imagine. And these are tiny little birds. They're super cute and very hardy.
Clearly.
In that way, that if they have the proper fuel, they can make that flight. But scientists tell us that when they arrive in Argentina, they're very emaciated. You know, they've used up all the fuel to get there.
Can you clarify something for me? Because you want this species to be listed as threatened, not endangered. What is the difference? Because like in terms of endangered species here in Utah, I think I could probably only name two, the California condor and the sage grouse, right?
Well, actually, the sage grouse is not a listed species.
Oh, it's not?
No. And that's because there's a lot of pushback from state officials with regard to listing species. So endangered is a more critical level of concern. Threatened represents significant concern as well. A recent example in Utah of an endangered species that has pretty significantly recovered comes from the June sucker, which is a species that only exists in Utah Lake. And it was on the cusp of disappearing forever and got listed under the Endangered Species Act, and I believe it was 1986. And as scientists and state officials work to help the species recover, it was recently downlisted to threatened. So it's still on the list. It's still a species that really needs to be watched to make sure that it continues to thrive. But, you know, it's an example of how this program to protect species that are at risk really does work when it's given a chance. And the upside is that in protecting the species, you're also protecting the habitat for the species.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I do love birds. And when you describe these birds as, I think you just said these little birds, and immediately that you said that, my heart just kind of swelled a bit. But I am most interested in this petition as an organizing tactic. So how does protecting this bird, the Wilson's phalarope, protect the Great Salt Lake?
So the thing that we're asking for in this listing petition is that the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, which is the entity that oversees Endangered Species Act listings and petitions, create critical habitat for the species. And what that means is, so this is a shorebird that depends on Great Salt Lake and a healthy Great Salt Lake. This means that keeping the lake healthy is linked to keeping the bird healthy. All that's linked to keeping us healthy. So the reason that we're filing this petition primarily is because in protecting the Wilson's phalarope, we also protect Great Salt Lake. And there are regulatory measures that come into play that could ensure, for example, more water going into the lake.
Okay. So basically, if the Fed says, yes, we are putting this bird, we are listing this bird as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, State of Utah, you need to take action to protect its critical habitat, what exactly could those actions be? Could we get a minimum level of water in the lake?
Potentially, yes. Under the scenario that you just described, the state will have to show the Fish and Wildlife Service how they're creating critical habitat, and they'll have to have a recovery plan that shows how they're going to protect what this bird needs in the ecosystem to survive. Mm-hmm. And so that's a healthy lake. And so then there's also a federal connection that comes in terms of, you know, if there are, for example, water diversion projects or water projects of any sort that have a federal component, and, for example, we're taking water from the lake, the federal government could say, no, you can't do that. You know, that water needs to go into the lake because you need to protect this bird species. So there's a pretty wide array of things that could happen. But what it does is it brings the federal government into the conversation in a way that's actually really important for us to be successful in our work to protect the lake.
I mean, Dita, you're essentially bypassing the state on one of Utah's biggest environmental crises, going straight to the feds for intervention. We know that Utah leaders do not like when the feds get involved. Are you worried about blowback?
No. So, and we're actually not bypassing the state, because the state would be in the recovery plan a critical partner. And also the state, in state publications and, well, all sorts of things that exist online that were created by state government, you can see the Wilson's phalarope crop up very frequently as a species that they're concerned about. So there's acknowledgement at the state government level that this species is going to be in big trouble if, you know, Great Salt Lake doesn't turn around. You know, this is one of the tools in the toolkit. We're going to need to use all of them. And what it does, potentially, in addition to creating a roadmap to save these beautiful, adorable little birds, is it creates the roadmap for a healthy Great Salt Lake in a way that our state elected officials during this last legislative session and even the year before really seem unwilling to do. So there's, you know, the response that we're getting right now is, oh, look at all the water. It's not a crisis. We don't need to worry.
Great winter.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if you look at the science and you look at what scientists are projecting for the long term, and then you look at the health of this bird species, they can't wait. The phalaropes can't wait for legislators to get their collective acts together. Hmm. This is a crisis. It needs urgent attention. And the Endangered Species Act is a tool that lights the little fire under the feet of everyone who's empowered to address this issue.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I mean, as Salt Lakers who are facing the very real existential threat of the shrinking Great Salt Lake, you know, we also are a species that relies on the lake having water in it to survive in this valley. One of the things that we hear a lot from legislative leaders is like, we're funding a study. We're appropriating funds. We're studying. We've been studying for years now. Has anyone studied the phalarope to the extent that like they see this coming? Or do you think it will be a surprise to legislators?
Oh, no, they're not going to be surprised at all. So the Great Salt Lake Commissioner specifically mentions Wilson's phalarope as a likely species to be proposed for listing. The other species he names, and we agree with this, is the eared grebe, which also relies on brine flies. So, the data is pretty compelling. So when the lake was at its all-time lowest level in October of 2022, the Wilson phalarope were also at their all-time lowest level here. There's a definite consequence that can be seen in what happens to these birds based on lake levels. So I think state leaders are expecting this, and they put $2 million in a pot of funding to prevent Endangered Species Act listing. I'm not sure what they're going to use that money for, but they did that during the last session.
If they decide that they want to really go to bat for keeping this bird off of the Endangered Species Act, that could be a very interesting communications kind of war of wits between activists and legislators.
Well, the wonderful thing about the Endangered Species Act is that it's based on science. And science doesn't care what political persuasion you are. Science is science. And so the scientists are counting these birds and tracking what is happening to them globally. And they're very, very threatened right now. And the situation at Great Salt Lake is kind of the linchpin to the whole thing, because if Great Salt Lake goes, that's a huge, 60%. So 600,000 birds depend on Great Salt Lake from this one species. That's the end of the story. And, we'll continue to study what's happening. There are ecologists and biologists who are continuing with these bird surveys, including the lead scientists who worked on our petition. But the real answer here is that the crisis could happen, the tipping point, the ecological collapse that kills off these birds, in the very near term. And that's why we need action now to ensure that lake levels are healthy. So it's adding urgency to the situation. But urgency with a regulatory mechanism attached to it, urgency coming from the federal government the federal government currently has the authority to tell the state what to do. And, some of us feel that the answer here is going to be more federal intervention.
I want to ask you kind of an organizing question, because, you've been thinking about the health of the Great Salt Lake since before I think it was on a lot of our radars, which is, I don't know. I would argue when the New York Times published that piece calling it an environmental nuclear bomb. There are two Utah-based organizations that are signed on to this petition regarding the phalarope. But in general, the Great Salt Lake is kind of hot right now. We're seeing more and more groups signing on to organize around the lake. And in my mind, as someone who's worked in nonprofits, that means like competing for funding resources, competing for the ear of legislators and the Great Salt Lake Commissioner. Is it possible to have too many cooks in the kitchen on this issue?
I don't think so. This is an incredibly urgent issue, but it's also, at the same time that it's urgent and needs attention now, concerted attention now, it's also going to require a long-term commitment. This, as we have learned over the past few years, will not be resolved in a year or 2 years. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. And it's also a matter of national importance and hemispheric importance. Because as you start to look at the data with regard to migratory birds, if Great Salt Lake collapses, honestly, it's not just the phalarope or the grebe. It's going to impact many, many migratory bird species in a catastrophic way. But then the other piece of this is the human health consequence. Yeah. So you have 2.8 million people that live next to this lake or close by, and there are going to be enormous health consequences. So, you know, that's why it rises to the level of a news story in a national newspaper like the New York Times, because this is a very big deal. And yes, there's some organizations that have worked on this solely for years, and they're making room for new people at the table. The other thing is that some of us, like me, we're getting older, and we need a crop of young, energetic organizers and policy specialists and lobbyists to sustain this long fight. And they're emerging, and it's very inspiring to see.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you referring to the sustainability of fighting this fight. Like, we're going to be talking about the Great Salt Lake for 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, God willing, years. It's just been kind of a few years that the legislature has been trying to save the Great Salt Lake in earnest, or the Utah leaders, it's been tip of the tongue. Have you seen real progress?
Yeah. And it's what you named a minute ago. It's people stepping up. So I've been an organizer in Utah for the better part of 40 years. And this is the most energy I've ever seen around any issue that I've ever worked on, and a really broad range of issues that I've worked on. It also epitomizes the struggles that we face with regard to climate change. And, you know, how are we going to live in a healthy, sustainable way moving into the future? Those things are tied into whether we can save Great Salt Lake. And if we save Great Salt Lake, I submit, you know, we're saving a lot more, you know, the health of Utah as a state, the Pacific Flyway, on and on.
Right. The future of the West.
Yes, exactly. And we're creating in our policy solutions a recipe for how to solve these tough problems. So the future of the West is dependent on how we deal with water. There's no question about that. John Wesley Powell said it before the turn of the century. He noted that. So, and that he named the problem correctly. So water is the defining issue of the West. So this is an enormous opportunity for us to do something really important that is replicable in other parts of the West.
Well, to funnel us back down to incremental change, when will we know if the feds are going to accept and act on this petition to designate the phalarope as threatened under the Endangered Species Act? When could this start moving?
So we're formally filing, and then after that happens, there's a what's called this 90-day finding period. I'm probably just misnamed it a little bit, but essentially the Fish and Wildlife Service has 90 days. They are very understaffed to respond and say, okay, this information that you've provided meets the threshold for us to continue to examine what's happening with this bird species. Now, what happens in the real world is that it's not 90 days. It may be more like 6 months.
Thank you for your email.
We will respond as soon as possible.
yeah. They're understaffed, and that is a whole other story. But we think that what we're submitting very thoroughly meets the threshold because of all the scientific evidence we're providing of what's happening. So then after that, then the Fish and Wildlife Service will go through a more lengthy process. And that also takes a fair amount of time. So this is not an overnight thing. But the fact that it's out there, that, you know, it's going through this process, I think makes it real for our local elected officials. Like, okay, you were talking about this being a thing that could happen. It is happening. And, you know, if I were a policymaker in the state, I'd be like, okay, we have to show the federal government actually that we are on top of this problem and that we are putting water into the lake and we are creating solid habitat for this bird. So this starts a ball rolling, and where it ends, we can't say right at this moment, but we're ringing the alarm bell.
I'm kind of into this, Dita. It's really punchy. I don't know. I'm kind of excited by it.
Well, you should be, because it's a tangible, powerful act.
Yeah. In a world of like fund a committee to study, this feels just like a little punchier.
Yes, it is a little, it is punchier. And that's what makes it important. And that's why we're really, that's why we're doing it, because we want to see things change for the better. And we want to save this adorable, adorable little bird.
Dita Seed, organizer with the Center for Biological Diversity, thank you so much for your time.
Sure, anytime.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.